Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks so much for joining me. You know, first of all, I want to thank Blue Lives Matter for making this show possible. The news and information website is bluelivesmatter.blue. That's where you want to go for all of your law enforcement news and information. Also, the people at warrior12.com who create the Blue Lives Matter t-shirts, the greatest designs you can imagine. And some really good looking stuff. So check out warrior12.com. It's got all the products for Blue Lives Matter.
The Briefing Room. Headlines, stories, and all that touches American law enforcement.
So, my friends, let me ask you, what is it that causes people who are famous to just have to get out in social media and other forms of media and make absolute morons of themselves? What is it that causes this? Is it some kind of disease? Is it some kind of celebrity malfunction that takes place? There were three in the last just week or so that I'm going to bring up because, and normally I don't get involved in the political aspect of these kind of morons, but because one of them affected law enforcement, I want to talk about the three of these because they're kind of connected to one another. First of all, this absolute moron, Kathy Griffin, showing the incredible disrespect for our president by coming out with this hideous ISIS-like kind of visual, holding the president's head like it was a bleeding beheading, and she goes out and does this on media, and she is called on the carpet as she damn well should be. And she loses her job at CNN for the New Year's Eve party, which she always looks like a moron like anyway. But she lost that job as a result of this. Now, suddenly, she appears on television with her attorney, who, by the way, is Gloria Allred's daughter, who is the big celebrity attorney. And she claims that she's the victim. How did this happen? How did suddenly she become the victim? It's unbelievable. She shows up on television in tears and hold a press conference and is given the media attention because she's this idiot who wants attention so badly. And she claims through her tears, she's talking about Donald Trump, and she says, quote, "He broke me," she said through tears. "I've had everybody turn on me," she said earlier as she teared up. Are you kidding me? How did you become a victim when you are the one that goes on television with this hideous mockery of the President of the United States, whose child saw this woman holding up his head and became upset, and it became known. So suddenly she's trying to turn it around. Now, talk about idiots. Now, who comes to her defense? None other than the great Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin is somebody I'd like to punch right in the face. He just looking at him pisses me off. And so what does he do? He now jumps to her defense, okay? Here's a guy who of all people, why would anybody listen to this guy? And then he comes out and he says, Kathy, on my show I can't curse, but he says, screw them in a different way. Screw them all. Number one believes you meant, no one believes that you meant to threaten Trump. Trump is such a senile idiot. All he has is Twitter fights. Ignore him like all the leaders of the countries in the world ignore him. Now, there's a guy that you want to listen to for political advice, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Al. Thank you for your opinion on the, on your other moronic friend, Kathy Griffin, who belongs in an asylum somewhere. But it doesn't end there, my friends. There was another one. Yep. And this one coming from the opposite direction. Look, we know that that Griffin and Alec Baldwin are very liberal people. They make no bones about it. They are very vocal about their liberalism, and so they come from the left. Okay, you know what? We've been hearing nothing but diatribe from and horrible rhetoric from the left about Donald Trump. Okay, listen, that's what they do. It's political. I don't have that much to say about it. But when Ann Coulter enters the fray, Ann Coulter, who is supposed to be the darling of the right, who I've listened to, and sometimes she makes sense, she comes out after the attack in France, where police officers were attacked by a guy wielding a hammer, and they took care of business and they shot him, right? Okay, that's awesome, great. But what does she do? How does she enter into this? She does a tweet. I think maybe we ought to outlaw tweeting is what should happen. But she comes out with this. Listen to this. She says, Paris police, very macho. Unlike the little girls on NYPD, only two shots fired. One hit the Muslim in the thorax. All right, I want to repeat that second phrase of this tweet. Unlike the little girls on the NYPD, who the hell does Ann Coulter think she is? 867 New York City police officers have given their lives in the line of duty. And she's going to call them little girls? Little girls? What are you talking about, Ann Coulter? First of all, those men and women who have served with distinction have made so many sacrifices over the years, and you have the guts to come out and insult every single New York City police officer. You are disgusting. Did you hear me, Ann? I hope you're listening to the show. You are disgusting. And the fact of the matter is that you not only insulted everybody on the NYPD, you insulted every law enforcement in America. When you insult one of us, you insult all of us. And that, my friends, is my view from the blue. For all your news and information about everything that's going on in law enforcement, the website that you want to go to is bluelivesmatter.blue. And that is where the official website of Blue Lives Matter is. You will read articles written by cops and police supporters. You will find out everything that's going on in the law enforcement community. You can show your support by becoming a member of Blue Lives Matter. And there will always be additional opportunities and information that you will find entertaining and informative. BlueLivesMatter.blue. If this was television and you could see me right now, you know that I'd be wearing a Warrior 12 t-shirt. And you're asking yourself, what the hell is a Warrior 12 t-shirt? That is, unless you've been listening to this show for a while. Then you would know that they are the coolest police t-shirts around. Warrior 12 is the clothing line for Blue Lives Matter. So we got the Blue Lives Matter t-shirts. We have all kinds of other different logos and sayings on them. And they are very, very cool. So go to warrior12.com. That's warrior12.com. You could check out the entire line and wear some pretty cool shirts.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America out loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
With me today on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, is an attorney from the state of New Jersey, Charlie Scarra. Charlie has been an attorney since 1999. He specializes in employment law and has spent a great amount of time representing law enforcement officers for all kinds of stuff. And that's what we're going to be talking to him today about, some incident in Hackensack. Charlie, thank you so much for being on Blue Lives Radio.
Mr. Sutton, thanks so very much for having me. It's an honor to be here. The state PBA indicated that you were one of the good guys, and I could have a conversation with you, and that's what we're here to do. Just one piece. I've opened my own practice in 99. I've been admitted since 96 when I was assistant prosecutor for a couple years and then worked for one of the premier labor firms in the state, and then I went out on my own in 99. So I just wanted to clarify that for the record.
Well, I'm glad you did clarify that for the record. I think I'm talking
to a lawyer. I don't want anybody coming later and say, Sciarra wasn't admitted in 96. We have him on radio saying 99.
Well, I got to tell you, for any of my listeners, if you want to read an amusing biography, go to Charlie Scarra's law firm's biographies, and you'll get a laugh. It was a very well done biography.
We try not to take ourselves too seriously. There's a lot of got a lot of people come in with a lot of angst and difficult issues, but we shoot straight with them. We tell them what the facts are, and then we advocate as hard as we can. And my personality is to try and make light of stuff and move forward a little bit and keep it as light as possible while we deal with some very heavy issues. So that's just basically me setting the tone. If you can't take the joke and you can't roll with it, I can take the joke. Hit me all the time. But if you can't take it, then I can't serve you because I can't repress that aspect of me. Well, but anyway, thank you again. It's an honor to be here. I went and checked out your website and all, and it's clear that you guys are just about the blue,
and
I'm honored to be on your radio today.
Well, and we do have something very serious to talk about. The headline that brought me to you is really disturbing. I'll read it for my listeners. This came out of NorthJersey.com, and also was featured on BlueLivesMatter.blue. Hackensack seeks involuntary retirement for six cops, and it goes on that the city council is pursuing involuntary early retirement for six police officers, all of whom were involved in shootings or fatal accidents. Now, I read this, and I got to tell you, my blood went into boil. And you are the attorney. After I contacted the PBA state president, he told me that you're the attorney, and got to tell me, what is going on in the city of Hackensack?
Well, that is a loaded question, and you advised me in advance we only have a half hour, so barring the next 3 weeks of unencumbered stream of consciousness about the city of Hackensack, I'll try and boil it down as best I can. But we have some Jersey is I'm kind of proud of the fact that we're a suburb of New York and a suburb of Philly with a really good beach, good beach scene down the shore. We have some good-sized cities. I don't think we have 500,000 residents in any one given city, but we have some good-sized cities. Hackensack is a fairly good-sized city, probably in the top 10 or top 15 in the state. And for reasons that can only be described as really just politics, it has had a dysfunctional relationship with its police officer for a lot of years. Now, going back, if you read my bio, I had some political background in there before I just buttoned up and got serious about the law. Going back a lot of years, they had a mayor and his brother was also in the state assembly, and he was the chief of police. And, you know, there's a political element to what went on there. Now, interestingly, I don't think they're necessarily bad people. They just do things differently. And he actually, the brother wound up getting indicted for directing police officers, allegedly directing police officers at the scene of his girlfriend's DWI and perhaps acting inappropriately. He was convicted, but the whole thing was thrown out. And they've since resolved that matter with him. I don't know if he wants to return to the department or not at this point. Not a terrible guy, a decent guy, and his trial became political as well. But the place is seeped in deep politics.
But how can politics, when you're talking about police officers who have only done their duty and forced to use deadly force on another individual, what is the percentage in it for them? Why would they want to force these good cops into retirement?
Well, let me just so again without you dedicating the rest of your radio career to Hackensack, it's been a place that has been shaken by the indictments of various officers, the indictment of the chief, lots and lots of lawsuits, lots of back and forth, some really unhinged events there over the last decade or so. And now the pendulum, the pendulum is swinging back the other way, where they are just basically taking an axe to the politics in a instead of going in and surgically trying to resolve stuff, they've gone the other way, where anybody that they believe is acting inappropriately or is not jumping back to work right after an extreme situation involving a shooting or something along those lines, any of that, they treat the other way and say, well, gee, everybody must be a malcontent, everybody must be a malingerer, and that's part of what their approach is now. And so they're coming at, you know, they're basically doing surgery with an axe. I mean, let me be clear, I tell this to clients, police departments have a right to have individuals who are fit for duty and able to do the job. Working in the police department. We all want that. We want police officers who every 6 months in New Jersey, they got to go and demonstrate they have the ability to shoot their gun and they haven't lost it in the last 6 months, so they have to go requalify. There are fitness for duty requirements that they don't normally send you back all the time, but they can, check your temperature if you've had some kind of personal tragedy or something along those lines. We want that. I think we could all agree. I would suspect that the majority of your listeners would agree that we want stable and strong individuals doing the work.
Of course.
The problem is that, right. I don't think that's very a very dramatic or an especially explosive statement to make. What happens, however, is you've got this new, I think you've got this new social media type, and I know there's a lot of it on your website. The social media type. The Staten Island thing and the Ferguson thing, where
you're talking about all the anti-law enforcement negativity that's out there on the social
media.
Yeah,
correct. Yeah, exactly. And that is, I think to a large degree, that is starting to really steer the ship here, where you give police officers guns, they have to use them sometimes, and they have to use them in accordance with the law. And when they do that, we shouldn't make them toxic and make them glow in terms of something went wrong here. I've responded in my 20 years of representing various police agencies, New Jersey State Police, multiple county and municipal organizations. I've personally responded to over 100 critical instances. 2 a.m. you get a call, there's a shooting out on the highway, you got to get there. My firm has probably gone over 200 or more. Because in the late 90s in Jersey, there was this racial profiling litigation that went back and forth, and the state police and the attorney general's office became more aggressive in looking at these stops and these critical instances. And then the unions responded by saying, okay, well, we're going to have lawyers there, too, to make sure rights are protected.
Exactly.
And let me say this as well. I'm going to knock on wood because it's always an issue. But in all of those times, I've never, ever had an indictment for some misuse of force or something along those lines as it relates to something that transpired where a civilian pushed the issue, pushed the envelope, was engaged in some illicit conduct, engaged in intoxication, whatever the situation may be, and pushed things beyond the pale where an officer had to, use deadly force. And let me be clear about another thing. I have never once, not one time in all those occasions, met an officer who celebrated having to use deadly force, regardless of the outcome, if the individual, the perpetrator was deceased or was just hit or wasn't even hit at all. No one's ever celebrated that. That is, from my perspective, one of the scariest things that and unfortunate things an officer has to do. And I mean scary in terms of, gee, that's the one thing I hope I don't have to, you know, go out there and do today to protect myself or one of my colleagues or the public. No one, at least in New Jersey that I've ever met, takes on that that job with zeal.
Exactly, and that's one of the misnomers nationally is that, and it's a narrative been pushed by a lot of the media that police seem to celebrate when they have to use deadly force. And of course, as you said, and you know from being literally interlocked with a police officer during this stage in their career, that nobody is celebrating that. It's a life changing incident.
And it's traumatic. And, one thing I tell my clients when they walk in is 2,500 years from now, because I have a full conversation with my clients about everything, because the relationship is so important to check all the boxes and to really just be human beings with these people. And I say 2,500 years from now, the archaeologists are going to come in and they're going to go through the cemeteries and they're going to notice that the skeletons with the badges also have skulls that are half inch thicker than everybody else. Okay, it's part of the mentality. You're going up to cars of people you don't know what they're up to. You're going into homes you don't know what you're dealing with, and so you develop a thicker skin, a thicker skull in terms of your own strength and ability. But the minute something traumatic like that happens, we immediately discount the traumatic event and the nature of the traumatic event and the effect it has on people and the nightmares and everything else, because it's not something anybody invites. It's not a video game. It's not something, you know, to put my 50 cents in or put the disc in the video game console and start playing. It's nothing anybody wants. All they want is compliance. And all of these cases, I can't find one that didn't involve some, at least in Jersey, and I've seen a few where I've scratched my head over the years with these social media things where I said, yeah, I don't know what the cop was thinking. Maybe two or three. Like, what? Maybe I missed something there. But none of them start without some engagement with police officers, where the police officers were just responding to a call, looking at a suspicious vehicle, engaged in some conduct back and forth.
Sure, of course,
And so then it's a question of, you know, the appropriate use of force. And like I said, in Jersey, no one celebrates it, and we've had a very good track record, not through some magic lawyering, but just through some good police work, where police officers have stepped up and done the right thing, and only as a last, an absolute last, choice that they may have. The last resort that they might have. But I will tell you this. I have seen dozens of cases where deadly use of force was justified and the cops didn't.
Exactly.
And almost got themselves or someone else killed because it has to be. They have to be thinking of themselves. I mean, if I'm not 100% sure, if that wasn't a gun, if it was something else, who's going to back me up? Because
that's the great untold story in policing. But let's get back to these Hackensack officers.
So get into the Hackensack guys. These guys had traumatic events, and so immediately they get put into this framework where they're being looked at for their activities, not like, hey, good job or whatever, but uh-oh, what'd you do and what's the situation? So that now, because of this most recent social media stuff, the Attorney General sets forward these different provisions that all shootings, all critical instances involving use of force have to be presented to a grand jury and have to be, we used to be able to arrive on the scene, share information, get the videotapes, make sure, because I'm telling you, in that 2 seconds, the officers, they think they could have it all isolated, but in fact, they went out to the left of the car as opposed to the right, and suddenly you're like, wait a second, you know, is the guy lying or is he not lying? That is a traumatic event happening in a microsecond of time, and you just might not remember a detail like that. So we were always had a working relationship because law enforcement, the Attorney General's office, even the state police response teams, even the prosecutor's teams, they wanted to get to the bottom of it, and they wanted to be fair. Now, after the whole Ferguson thing and all the rest of it, they've now determined that we're not going to have communication with the lawyers because it looks, you know, like some kind of game is being played. Okay, well, you made my job more difficult because how can I advise my client? And so we have to then resort to the Fifth Amendment when we wouldn't normally do so for no other reason than just, you know, self-preservation.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. You're giving me some information that I did not know. So you're saying that whereas prior to all the madness of Ferguson, et cetera, the decisions to investigate officer-involved shootings were done at a local level, district attorney or public or prosecutor, and an internal organization within the police agency. And now, because of the politics of that, that decision-making process has now changed and is and has to go to a grand jury based on the attorney general?
Let me be clear. The attorney general in our state, I suspect a lot of your listeners have elected district attorneys, elected attorney generals. The attorney general in our state is appointed by the governor and serves at the will of the governor. And then you have prosecutors who get the 21 counties in New Jersey have prosecutors who get the 5-year terms. They, the prosecutor's office routinely had a role in investigating these, but they had the discretion to do the work with the department and try and figure things out.
Right.
Now, because of the level of suspicion, the attorney general has come out with a guideline which basically takes away all the discretion of the county prosecutors to try and get facts and try and develop stuff. And let's not forget, when a police officer shoots at somebody, it's because that person shot back at them. And so now you have the need to prosecute the person who was involved in illicit activity, who shot at a law enforcement officer. But now you're slowing down the prosecution of those people because you're saying that we got to treat them equally because, you know, a perpetrator X was out there in a stolen car with, proceeds from an armed robbery, and he shot twice at the officer, but the officer shot back twice. So now we have to treat them almost as equals. And it's gummed up in numerous instances since they've come out with this policy. The investigations into the illegal conduct within the with the confines of law enforcement and the prosecutor's office trying to prosecute the bad guys.
So who's actually conducting the investigation into the shooting of the officer, into the officer involved shooting?
Now it is the attorney general's office with the the prosecutor's office, sometime in the county, and sometimes you bring in other counties to do it. But the AG has a shooting response team, and they've come up with all kinds of protocols that you can't show them the videos. If these guys are wearing body cameras or they have dash cams, they can't even look at those now. So now it's guesswork as to, did I run out to the left or did I run out to the right? Did he come around the front of the car or the back of the car? And you're sitting there, and I'm saying to myself, why? These things are traumatic episodes. Only the people who are involved in them know how traumatic they are. They probably have PTSD. Why on the earth would I serve him up to give a statement where, someone could say, well, wait a second, everything is correct, except you said he went out to the left of the car, not the right, on some minor detail. It's become completely non-cooperative.
Oh, boy.
And that's part of the, I quite frankly think that's part of the stress component. And, yeah, getting back to the issue, I've seen dozens of cases where use of force would have been appropriate, but they didn't do it. And I suspect they probably didn't do it because part of it is I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to be in the newspapers.
Of
I don't
course.
Want death threats.
Yes.
You know, all that plays out as well. So in back to Hackensack, these guys have traumatic episodes. Either we're going to agree that if our soldiers can go over to foreign lands, and we have to be mindful of the fact that these guys are coming back with PTSD, just because you can't see the injury doesn't mean that they're not injured. And yeah, we can't. Yeah, I agree that looking at somebody and not seeing a broken arm or a broken leg or you're in a wheelchair makes it a little more difficult to look inside someone's head. But these guys, our soldiers, come back with this, and we're only now maturing as a society to say, you know what? Maybe there's something to the fact that these guys, as strong as they are, and as you know, regardless of the inner strength with which they try and operate, they're injured. Their brains have suffered a lot. The fact that you've had to shoot somebody, today, I don't care if you're a cop and you're trained to do it, it's still going to have an impact on you.
Well, Charlie, PTSI, we refer to it now as post-traumatic stress injury, as opposed to a disorder, because it can be healed, just as you so eloquently pointed out. It's no different than a broken arm. It is an injury that can be healed with the proper treatment.
Mr. Sutton, I got to tell you, I think it's far worse than a physical injury because the brain just runs amok. Okay, the brain just runs. And I'll tell you personally with regard to this, I'm doing well, but 11 years ago, I was diagnosed with leukemia. I thought I was doing well, and that was traumatic for me, as you can imagine. I had young children.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing well, and I went, and I realized I wasn't. I was not right, and I went and just because I was yelling at everybody and doing it, and my kids, and I'm like, what do we do? And I went and got some assistance for that, and it was the best thing ever. I'll tell this to all your listeners. You have to go turn around and get yourself checked out because the brain runs amok. It just takes off on you, and an arm will fix. You get surgery, you do whatever. An arm will heal, or you lose some of it, or whatever. But the brain controls every aspect of our lives. Can we sleep? What are we looking at? How do we feel about things? And man, we gotta. You know, continue to mature about this and say this is the real deal. And so,
oh, you're absolutely, and Charlie, we talk on this show at great length about this particular topic, and we have some tremendous resources available for law enforcement officers to help.
I got to tell you, in Jersey, the PBA, we're very strong PBA. I know there's a lot of FOP. We have. The FOP has a good mix here, but the PBA is the biggest and strongest union in Jersey.
Just for my listeners, the PBA is the Police Benevolent Association.
Benevolent Association, right? And so they have set up an amazing mental health system for everything. If an officer's having trouble with alcohol, if he's going through a divorce, if his kid gets sick, because you know, and you could not have imagined this 20 years ago because everybody just had to, hey, be
strong. Suck it up, yeah.
But now it's like, get the help. Reach out and get the help. And our PBA, our troopers unions have really just matured to made that part of what they do in terms of providing services to their membership.
That's excellent.
And, I routinely, I'll see a guy come in, and I've had one or two where I was very concerned about them hurting themselves. I've had others that I just know, the family comes in and they're supportive, but you could see the fissures and you could see the stress, and people need to engage in that. In Hackensack, you have these guys who have this incident, and you have professionals who are looking at it. I'm not going to get into the particulars of any of the one cases, but in New Jersey, we have a pension system that provides for you the opportunity to get an accidental disability pension if you qualify. And it's a very rigorous standard. It's become more rigorous through the years. We've had an unfriendly governor who he has just been extremely unfriendly to cops, and they've made some rules and changes and stuff like that. But it's very rigorous. And you know what? Fine. It should be, because there's public money involved, and it's pension money. It's the police officer's pension money. You want to make sure people are appropriately getting those benefits. But it recognizes that the injury that you have might not be that you got shot in the spine and you're in a wheelchair, or you lost your you got run over by a perpetrator or something along those lines. It recognizes mental health injuries as well. And
well, actually, that's a plus. Many states do not recognize that, so that in and of itself is a plus. But it seems as if it is being abused by Hackensack.
Well, let's talk. So specifically as to this, they have their incident over there, and they're essentially cleared of any inappropriate wrongdoing. But, it would be utterly irresponsible if I were to turn around and try and stick a round peg in a square hole, so to speak. If I have a police officer who is shaken to his core by this, at the end of the day, that person doesn't serve his colleagues, doesn't serve the community as well. And if we recognize that having to shoot somebody is, in fact, an extremely traumatic event, then we can turn around and say, all right, let's deal with this. So these guys particularly went for evaluations, went to get checked out. And in the event that they're, the pension board agrees, because the pension board's own doctors see that they have PTSD and stress-related issues, and they might, God forbid, they might, if they're in that situation again, they might not pull the trigger. And then, we'll lose a bus full of, school bus full of kids or something else, and everybody's saying, gee, what were you thinking? Because they won't do what's incumbent upon them to do because of the trauma of that the first time. We go through the process where they're entitled to review by the pension board and ultimately, if appropriate, a pension. Hackensack has decided, and again, this goes back to the political issues here. Hackensack has decided that, well, we're going to push the issue, and we're going to say that because you're not coming back to work, we're involuntarily retiring you. And there's a provision for that, but I don't believe this is the instance. And they're going to get reduced benefits. They're not going to get health care if some of this goes through, at least to the degree they would if they were given the benefit of the accidental disability pension. It's going to impact them in terms of how they move forward and what they're able to get out of the system in terms of mental health and other related benefits that they're entitled to.
So, in essence, what you're telling me is that the city of Hackensack wants to involuntarily separate these guys with not the same benefits they would get normally if they retired under the circumstances of a stress related illness.
Correct, and. They're moving along. First of all, Hackensack is a prosperous city with a very good tax base. So this is not there's no major impact. It's not like you have Jersey's got a lot of municipalities. You got some small ones that couldn't afford to have seven officers out. But that's not, it's not a money thing. I really don't believe it's a money thing at all. I think it's a power play. This business administrator that Hackensack has. I cross-examined him last week on another matter, and at the end of it, the guy didn't know whether he was coming or going. It's just politics.
But it's dehumanizing to these police officers.
Well, yeah, it gets back to the core issue. Who's going to back me up? Who's going to support me? Who's going to step forward and support me and my job as a cop when I'm out here putting my neck on the line? Every day, I get the hate mail. I get the wacky emails. I gotta be mindful that social media nowadays, my name is gonna get out there, and some lunatic's gonna drive down my street and shoot up my house. Things that we've had at the very least charge people with attempting to do in New Jersey, when they got the name of a police officer who used force in a lawful way,
sure.
And then suddenly next thing they become personal targets. And so, who's gonna back me up? Who's going to do it? And that becomes, just an amazing, it's like, I tell you, if my kids come to me and tell me they want to be a lawyer, this is a tough racket. It's a tough business, and you need a certain, mindset and a certain level of thick skin to deal with it. But if my kids come and tell me they want to be a lawyer, it's going to be a beating, second only if they come and tell me they want to be a cop. Because, and I'm kidding, it's not going to be a beating. Please don't call back. It's not going to be a beating. I'm going to throw them out of the house. And it's not that it's not an honorable profession. It is. The problem is you get into it, with the desire to help people and be involved and engaged. And then you find yourself making life or death decisions which put you out on an iceberg and leave you alone, adrift in the ocean when people who you thought were your friends disappear. The media shows up and turns you into something that you're not. Listen. Randy, we could talk about police conduct through the years, and I'm a progressive.
And I'd love to have you on the show again to do just that. This is a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a progressive. I'm generally, I'm generally a progressive, and the thing for me is it's interesting because I'm not a Trump guy, but Trump, said, I'll never forget when he said no one has it tougher than the cops. He said that in the debates in 2015, and no one has it tougher than our police officers. And I would like to see more activity with regard to actually helping them than just lip service. But I'm a progressive generally because I believe in the Bill of Rights. I believe in all the amendments. And when I go to court for a police officer, I'm exercising all those rights on their behalf, and I want those preserved and not lost. And so I'm in a particular class where I like liberal judges because liberal judges provide, at least in the criminal defense where I do almost all my work for police officers, provide me the rights to turn around and confront, and the rights to challenge, and the rights to represent my members. But there is this, and we could debate the Reginald Denny incident. We could debate, the Milwaukee guys with Dahmer, the two cops with Dahmer and all the rest of it. And there's been plenty of instances where you shake your head and you go, all right, not smart. Just, what were you thinking? And maybe this is just inappropriate. But by and large, these guys wake up every day. They put on a uniform. That badge, that uniform might as well just be a target. And for all the things that are broken in society with regard to kids who can't, can't get it together because they have no home life or schools that can't take care of it or domestic violence situations, they're the first line of defense, and they become the social workers and the probation officers and everything else. And I think this thing is going to start to turn. This pendulum is going to start to come back the other way. We start to support our police officers. And I hope that
you're right. But I want to know about these six guys. First of all, are you trying to save their jobs, or are you trying to get them the benefits that they should be awarded?
Okay, so to be clear, and again, I don't represent all six, but I represent several of them. The firm does, and I'm not going to get into specific as to the strategy or the facts. I just, I speak to the media a lot, and one thing I can't cough up is what we're going to do to my client's detriment. But what I will say is, if they're able to do the jobs, they're going to go back to work and do the jobs. If they are not, we're going to fight and fight hard to get them the pensions that they're entitled to, as a result of the fact that their inability to do the jobs came directly from instances where they did their jobs,
yes.
And it's a traumatic event that left a scar and a mark that makes them just not crisp and clear and ready to engage again. If that's what the doctor is saying, that's what the situation is, and that is recognized in New Jersey as something that appropriately should be dealt with. What Hackensack is doing is that's a political statement more than anything else. Cops, just cops trying to drain the system. Cops overpaid, blah blah blah, and that's. You know, that goes back, as we spoken earlier, about the political nature of the Hackensack Police Department.
Well, are you going to be able to go after the city for this type of misconduct?
Listen, if you Google me, you're going to find me using what we have here in New Jersey, some of our disability discrimination, our whistleblower type stuff. We have some of the best employment laws in the country to protect people. And if there is an avenue to do that, I'm certainly going to do that. However, litigation is a gunfight in of itself, and we don't want that for anybody. It's a last resort for us. That's my use of force. Okay, what I'm looking to do is get them their benefits, get them their rights, and if we can't negotiate it, fight it out, and if necessary, file lawsuits to do that. You know, one thing I don't do is leave a stone unturned. If I have an 85% of my practice is cops, and whatever other small business or civilians I handle, I never take up a case against police officers. Unless I have a police officer who's being accused by other police officers, then I don't pick and choose. I just represent my clients zealously. But if I need to bring some action at the end of the day against Hackensack, because there's an avenue for me to use the courts to rectify this wrong, I will do so. But I am hopeful that it doesn't come to that, because dragging these guys through that,
is not
a 2-year, 3-year, 4-year battle sometimes in Jersey. I've tried cases all the time. I just won a female police officer who was not promoted. She lawfully was supposed to be. The jury awarded her that promotion and a good amount of money. I just tried that case at the end of May. I just had a successful revolution with a gay police officer who was fired. And they came out with some scheme that he was not doing the job correctly and didn't report certain things. It was all nonsense. We did depositions, we did discovery, and we discovered that the older guys just couldn't get it through their head that it's a new world we live in, and he has as much of a right. If he can do the job, he has as much a right of anybody else.
These officers now, are they being fully paid while this is taking place?
My Hackensack, there hasn't been this may change based upon their conduct last week, so we're watching it closely. But that'll be something that we're litigating quickly, because there is no reason in the world why, having done their job, responded to a scene, done their job, and done it lawfully, that they should be penalized for that. There is just no moral reason in the world, and I will back into the legal reason to make sure that that's not the case.
And that is the entire reason that we have to get this information out to the public, because that is exactly what is happening here. Because they did their job, they are being punished by the very city that they were protecting. This is a moral outrage.
Well, look, you and I both know that there are people who play the system in every facet, Okay, we can agree to that.
Sure.
And there are people who play the system in every facet. These guys are not playing the system. These guys are looking for the help they need and making decisions about what they can do moving forward with their careers. And the problem is that the public doesn't have enough patience. Everybody's tied up with kids and soccer and work and all the rest of it and their own social media and their own Facebook to really delve into the facts. So, when I say the pendulum is coming back, I think what we're starting to recognize is that people – even people who like to complain a lot will reach for 911 when there's someone, breaking into the house. And when it's no longer profitable to bang away on cops in the media and in politics, and when I say profitable, I mean either ratings and or votes, then they're going to start to back off. And I actually think that it's very, in New Jersey, the progressives pay the cops well. They tax, they tax people with money and they pay the cops well. But then they, they'll go after them for these types of conduct and I think they go overboard. And then you have the conservatives who love the cops and everything they do, but they don't want to pay them and they're constantly reducing their pay and reducing their opportunity to make a decent living for their family. So you've got this kind of double-edged sword, if you will, and I find myself, like I said, generally politically speaking, I'm more progressive, but everybody I get a chance to speak to, I say, all right, so you're going to call 911 or not? Because if you're going to do that, then there's expense and cost involved in that. And, I think ultimately people, as social media, as people start to see what, the sick criminal minds that are out there perpetrating all kinds of nastiness, I think we're going to start coming back to the idea that, I don't know these cops too well, but they're in my town. They do a good job. We don't have a lot of crime, and when we do, they're on top of it. They're putting their lives on the line. And maybe people are going to just start to wise up a little bit about how difficult it is.
I certainly hope that you're right. I think we are seeing some of that. As we run out of time here, I want to thank you for being a champion for these officers and for, choosing the career path that you did in standing up for law enforcement officers in ways that truly affect literally every part of their life by what you do.
Let me just say this. This particular line, I don't have any police officers in the family. I went and clerked for a firm in New York that represent a lot of cops over there, and it just became a natural place for me because I'll stand up and defend someone who's accused of some criminality, but if it's a police officer, I feel a certain amount of pride, like I want to get my story out there and I want to fight harder. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that, I would leave my children in the care of a lot of my clients, and not a lot of defense attorneys would say that.
you could probably say that with accuracy.
These are the good guys, and whether some screw up on their part or whether some innocent mistake or whether someone's just out to, to screw them. Excuse the expression. I know we're on.
I think that's acceptable here.
The radio here. I don't want to get you jammed up. whatever the scenario may be, it's a fight I like having because I feel like it's an honorable thing to be doing, and it I make a very good living at it, and I run a tight ship in terms of my clients what's expected of them and what they can expect of me, and we've got a good record with it, but. Look, the reality of it is that I got really good material. So I'm working with police officers. I'm working with human beings who are in their professions to serve the public. Yeah, they want to get paid. They want to be able to provide for their own family, take nice vacations, and send their kids to college. But they do something that very few of us would have the courage to do every day. Give up Christmas, give up New Year's, give up the holidays, work nights, go out. Knock on a door where there's there's been some shouting and some glass breaking, pull over people you don't know you're dealing with, and by and large, these are the good guys. Every profession has its knuckleheads and its meatballs, and it's unfortunate, people, 1 or 2% who take advantage. Every profession, every single one. So let's not point any fingers. But by and large, this is a good group of people who just want to serve, and I'm very fortunate to be in a position to serve them. So I'm gonna fight like hell for the Hackensack guys, as we do with all of our clients, and I'll keep you up to speed with it. Feel free to reach out, and I'll give you, you know, back and forth of what to expect. And certainly to the law enforcement officers sitting out there, but to the degree it matters, thank you. I appreciate it. We had a little community day in my town the other day. I went over to the fellas and just thanked them. You know, they know me in town a little bit because with my reputation in the state, but I just thanked them because we're blessed to have them. And as much pressure as they're under all the time and the squeeze that gets put on them, I like to push back a little bit on their behalf and say, I'll take a few of the hits for you here. I'm sure I'll get some, you know, some hate mail for this interview, but it is what it is. It comes with the territory.
You won't get hate mail from my listeners.
Not from your listeners, but yeah, you know, they're out there. Every time I step up and we, you know, we defend somebody who shot somebody and it's unpopular, the emails come in, you know, the occasion, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. And there, on a few occasions, we've upped security a little bit just to be sure, but it's a small price to pay for the dignity and the opportunity to step in for people who are just, they're just out there. They got targets on their back and they're just out there trying to, I mean, think about it. Where do we go without police officers? Where do we go without police officers in this country?
Exactly. And once again, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day. I don't even want to know what your billable rate is per hour.
It's police, and they're public servants, so it's discounted, I can assure you. But this is a public service.
Yes, it is. But I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. That's Charlie Sciarra. And Charlie, what do you have a website that my folks can
check out? It's sciarralaw.com. So you'll see. So it's, you know what, I get abuse from my partners and my staff. It's kind of arcane. My VCR still goes 12 o'clock. So I'm not Johnny Technology, but you get a little bit about us, and there's a chuckle or two on there to have. We have the, if you go into the blog, you'll see how the coffee machine was the employee of the year for a lot of years, and then died, and we had a funeral for it. But
all right, that's Sciarra Law. That's S-C-I-A-R-R-A.
L-A-W? law.com.
Right, sciarralaw.com. Charlie, thanks again for being on the show.
Mr. Sutton, you're out in front on this thing, and good for you, and good for the membership, and it's been an honor.
End of watch.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we honor those men and women who gave their lives in the line of duty in the service of their communities. Unfortunately, this week I have three names to read. Lieutenant Aaron Lloyd Crook of the Bluefield Police Department in West Virginia. Lieutenant Aaron Crook was killed in a vehicle crash at the intersection of Princeton Avenue and Lee Street shortly after midnight while involved in a vehicle pursuit of a suspected drunk driver. He suffered fatal injuries when his patrol car collided with another Bluefield Police Department patrol car and a West Virginia State Police car. He was transported to Bluefield General Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries. The officers in the other two patrol cars suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The subject involved in the pursuit was arrested and charged with several felonies. Lieutenant Crook was a U.S. Marine Corps veteran and served with the Bluefield Police Department for 9 years. He survived by his wife and two children. Deputy Sheriff Devin Hodges of the Anderson County Sheriff's Office in South Carolina. Deputy Sheriff Devin Hodges was killed in a boating accident while participating in a joint Marine Patrol training exercise with the Army Corps of Engineers at Singing Pines Recreation Area in Starr, South Carolina. He and two other occupants of the boat were ejected from it during the training at approximately 9:30 a.m. He was then struck by the propeller of the empty boat, which had come back around after everyone had been ejected. Deputy Hodges was pulled from the water and transported to a local hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries an hour later. He had served with the Anderson County Sheriff's Office for 6 months and had served in law enforcement for 8 years. He had previously served with the Lander University Department of Public Safety, Abbeville County Sheriff's Office, Lawrence County Sheriff's Office, and the Calhoun Falls Police Department. He survived by his wife and children. The third officer was killed, and his name is Officer Joshua Montad of the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, Office of Agriculture Law Enforcement in Florida. Officer Joshua Montad was killed in a single vehicle crash on US 19 near Burley Brannan Road in Taylor County. His patrol car left the roadway and struck a tree during a period of heavy rain,
The vehicle caught fire and became engulfed in flames. His end of watch, Tuesday, June 6, 2017. Each of these officers served their communities and gave their lives in the line of duty. May they rest in peace.
I want to thank you so much for joining in and listening to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I really do appreciate it, and I hope that you are enjoying these shows. I would really love your input. You can email me at randysutton@americaoutloud.com. I'd love your input. If you have a guest that you think would be an interesting guest for this show, please let me know, suggest them, and I'll do my best to bring them on the show. Once again, I want to thank those that make this show possible. That is that BlueLivesMatter.blue. That is the Blue Lives Matter movement. Our website, BlueLivesMatter.blue, is the news and information website. And Warrior12.com, which is the product line for Blue Lives Matter. They got the coolest t-shirts. And now they've got these hot and cold cups that I forget what they're called, but they're some type of famous name, and they keep everything hot, they keep everything cold, and at Police Week, they sold like hotcakes. Apparently, everybody loves them. So check them out, warrior12.com. And once again, if you aren't aware of it, I have a number of books. True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them, A Cop's Life, and True Blue to Protect and Serve. And I'd love for you to take a look at them. Go to Amazon.com, look me up, and if you want to contact me, RandyLSutton.com. Thanks. See you next week.